Chapter 5. Today's the day. Amy woke up when the large metal door opened. She knew that the creaking sound meant Evan was visiting. Bright lights flooded into the large nursery windows, lighting up the row of 10 little wooden beds lined against the wall. Sitting up, Amy pulled her long copper-brown hair into a tidy ponytail and pushed off the pink fleece blanket. "Today's the day," she called out, her bright blue eyes sparkling with elation. Hopping out of bed, she danced around the room that she shared with the 9 other tiny girls. "We're going to the new world today," she sang. Santa and Georgia were instantly awake. "Hooray," they cried out, jumping out of bed. "Today is the day." "I want to see the water," Santa sang, clapping her hands and kicking her brown feet from side to side, "and flowers." "And all the things that Uncle Louis drew for us," tall blonde Georgia added, running over to dance with Amy around the room. "It's going to be our home forever," Amy sang happily. "I hope there will still be a Wonder Drink station," Dia moaned, rolling over in bed. Dia was the smallest girl. She looked just like the Indian princess in the book that Uncle Louis had read to them. "We will grow our own food," Amy reminded her, "or make something to trade for food from the store." "I just want Wonder Drink," Dia pouted, sitting up and brushing her thick black hair with one of the pink plastic brushes that Evan had given them. "Me too," whined Rosa, heaving her plump self out of the small wooden bed. "Why can't the professor just keep giving us Wonder Drink?" "Because he wants us to have fun," Santa encouraged, pulling her colorful shawl over her nightgown. "Remember, Uncle Louis said that growing things is so much fun." "And it teaches us to be industrious," Nancy added, recalling Uncle Louis's lessons from the day before. "We will be happiest if we contribute to our community." A whirring sound alerted the girls to new supplies entering the room. With great excitement, they ran over to the delivery area to have a look. Nancy pulled open the door to the sliding compartment under the window and dragged in a box. It was full of new clothes. Every few weeks, a box of clothes would come through in the same manner, and it was always so exciting. "Oh, I love this dress," Amy said, holding up a blue sundress with little white flowers. Wispy gauze strips hung from the shoulder straps. The girls called them ribbons. Santa pulled out a very small, sparkly pink top and shorts with lace and sequins. "This is for Dia," she said immediately, tossing it over to her. There was always one extra small item that would only fit Dia. Seeing the sparkles and sequins, Dia's eyes lit up eagerly. She put on the new clothes. Then she waltzed over to view herself in the glass reflection of the window. She considered carefully. "This top could be just a little tighter, but it will do." Lily looked over at Dia enviously and wrinkled her freckled nose. "I don't know why you get all the small clothes. I'm not that much bigger, you know." "If it has sparkles, then it's mine," Dia proclaimed, looking at herself sideways. Tossing her straight brown hair back proudly, Lily picked up a sundress that Georgia had decided was too small. It hung loosely, but she liked the orange flowers that were embroidered on the hem. "I wonder why all the clothes have a little capital F and P on them," Amy remarked, very pleased that the pretty blue dress fit. No one understood the FP label, having never heard of brand names, but they all briefly examined the decal on their own items. "This is for me," Santa laughed, having reached the bottom of the pile. She held up a bright turquoise dress and slipped it on. "Ooh, I can move in this," she laughed, dancing all around. "And there aren't so many ribbons. I don't like ribbons. I just love color." Almost everyone had found something they liked to wear, except one. "Nothing fits me," Rosa complained, unable to pull on even the loosest dress. Everyone looked at Rosa. She was much rounder than the others. Finally, in a tentative voice, Santa said, "You can have my shawl if you want. It's big on me." Amy looked up in surprise. She knew that Santa loved her multicolored shawl. "Okay," Rosa said, tossing back her shiny blonde curls. "I'll try it on." The shawl was unrestrictive. Rosa was pleased to revamp her wardrobe with the colorful shawl, but forgot to say thank you. And she didn't seem to appreciate how hard it had been for Santa to give up her favorite accessory. When Rosa turned her back, Amy reached out to give sad Santa a quick hug.
"That was really nice of you," she said quietly.
Santa sighed and hugged Amy back. Hugs were special among the tinies, and not everyone gave them so freely. "Thank you," she said. Yu Yan stood by the glass window with Tina and Vanitha, admiring her new clothes in the dim reflection. With a distinctively Asian appearance and in the petite category with Dia and Lily, dark-haired Yu Yan had found a flowered top with a matching skirt. In keeping with the FB clothing, wispy ribbons hung from the shirt sleeves. Tina was neither tall nor short, and she was rather plain. She generally kept her long brown hair up in a bun. Trilling around, she was pleased that her simple skirt and blouse had only minimal decorations. Vinitha, with her dark wavy tresses and cinnamon-colored skin, always looked particularly stunning. She was trying on a new purple top. Yu Yan lifted the large book they had been reading in the nursery the night before and asked Vinitha to help her carry it back to the library. "Of course," Vinitha said sweetly, doing up the ribbons. She had one last look at her window reflection, gave herself a pleased smile, and ran over to help Yu Yan. "I'll help too," Tina volunteered, taking to the corner. "I wonder if there will be books in paradise." "I hope so," Yu Yan smiled gently. "What would we do without books?" "I know," Vinitha agreed. "I could read them all day, but I do wish they were a little smaller." There was a tap on the common room window, and all the girls who weren't carrying books ran from their own room into the other. A large, smiling face with spiky blonde hair was peering in. "Evan!" they shouted happily. "When do we go into the new world?" Georgia asked, pressing her pretty face up against the window. Stooping over to speak into the microphone, Evan answered, "Breakfast first, and then the doors will open. Get your Wonder Drink, everyone, and pack up your stuff. If you put it inside the delivery area in your rooms, I'll make sure your things get to you in paradise." With great delight, Georgia, Santa, and Amy walked over to the Wonder Drink station, chatting excitedly about the new world. They could hardly wait to see it. Amy didn't feel hungry and wished they could skip breakfast and go in right away. Lots of loud stamping and shouting indicated the boys were coming out of their room as well. Swarthy Zaheer came out whistling a merry tune. He and Vahid looked quite dapper in their new vests, flowing white shirts, and knee-length shorts. However, they had ripped all the hanging ribbons off their clothing, which left a few holes here and there. Bronze Ponce and Small Charlie were right behind with the same new outfits. In fact, as the boys tumbled out of their room, Amy noticed that all their outfits were identical. Odin and Damien pushed past everyone to be first in line. They were the biggest tinies. The others complained, but didn't stop them. The Wonder Drink station had two nozzles within easy reach. Each child had their own big cup and had written their name on it. Filling their cups with the delicious creamy mixture, the kids usually drank their breakfast quickly. Uncle Louis referred to it as breakfast in the morning, but they had the same Wonder Drink every meal. Soon everyone had gathered in the common room with cups in hand. "I haven't had any yet," Rosa complained, tugging gently on Odin's long white blonde hair. Odin was filling his cup for the third time. "I'm not done yet," Odin said in a grouchy tone of voice. Generally, Odin and Damien stood in front of the station and filled their cups over and over. Odin was very round and barely fit in his new clothes, and Damien was the tallest. They always insisted on drinking to their fill before they moved away. Rosa started crying. Nancy reached out for Rosa's cup, barged in front of Damien, and filled it for her. It was a common morning occurrence, although no one ever dared push in front of Odin. Uncle Louis walked out of his private room to check on the kids. "Oh, you have a new outfit too," Amy exclaimed. Rubbing down his vest, Uncle Louis looked pleased. "Yes, we're all heading to paradise in style," he laughed. Just like the boys, Uncle Louis had a flowing white shirt, fancy brown vest, and knee-length fringe pants. "Make sure you drink enough for breakfast," he told them all. "We have a busy morning ahead of us." Once she had taken a couple sips of Wonder Drink, Amy washed her cup in the sink that was built into the common room wall and left it to dry on the counter. With great delight, she ran to the girls' room to pack her pillow, blanket, and clothes into her little bed. "Why are you sad?" Amy asked.
"We're going to miss the nursery," Rosa lamented. "It's cozy here."
"We'll have cozy places in paradise," Amy assured her. Yu Yan nodded. "And there'll be so much more to do in paradise," she told her friend.
"But we've been here all our lives. This is our home," Rosa wailed.
Amy looked around the plain nursery. It had been cozy and was filled with lots of good memories, but she was confident paradise would be even better. "I'll help you pack your stuff," she said. Picking up Rosa's blanket, she folded it neatly. Yu Yan gathered Rosa's brush and nightgown off the floor and tucked them into her bed. "Come on, Rosa," she encouraged. "It won't be so cozy here when everyone else has gone." Reluctantly, Rosa stood up. Amy and Yuyan dragged Rose's bed over to the delivery area, just as Evan had said. Then they ran back and gathered their own belongings together. Overjoyed that the big day had finally come, Amy ran into the common room. She couldn't restrain the melody filling her heart.
I love today, she sang,
trilling around in a new blue dress, enjoying the way the ribbons floated past her arms.
We're going away to play all day in the brand new world.
World doesn't rhyme, Zahira pointed out thoughtfully. I know, but I couldn't think of anything else, she shrugged. The tall, dark-haired boy with the gentle blue eyes frowned, deep in thought. He hummed her tune. With a sudden smile, he sang,
By the brand new bay.
Amy looked at him with awe. You have such a nice voice, she raved. She had never heard Zahir sing before. Usually he just whistled. A rosy red brightened Zahir's dark olive complexion. What's a bay? Amy asked. Well, it's sort of like a bunch of water, Zahir shrugged. He raised one of his well-defined eyebrows. And the new world has a lot of water. You know so much, Amy praised. Zahir looked flustered, but even though he didn't know the true meaning of a bay, Zahir did know a lot. Like Yuyan, Tina, Vanitha, and Amy, Zahir had caught on quickly to reading and had now read every book in the nursery. Amy tried out her song with the new ending. She liked it, so she kept singing. Soon Zahir, Lima, Georgia, and Santa joined in.
Rosa was too sad to sing.
Odin and France told them to stop the noise, but the other children were too happy to just stand quietly waiting for the doors to open. Yelling loudly, Odin and Franz clapped their hands over their ears and ran back into the boys' room. As soon as everyone had finished breakfast, washed out their cups, and packed their boxes, Uncle Louis asked them to get into a line. Standing in the common room by the big doors that had never opened before, Uncle Louis held up his hand to get their attention. Amy stopped singing. She was very excited to see the doors open. What does paradise look like? She wondered eagerly. Everyone quieted down except for Pontsy. Pontsy kept talking to Odin, wondering how they would build forts in paradise. That's enough, Pontsy, Uncle Louis said. All the kids gave Pontsy a dirty look. He responded better to his peers than to the teacher. He stopped talking. We don't want there to be any running or pushing, Uncle Louis reminded them. We are going to walk up this tunnel ramp slowly so that no one gets hurt. When you get to the new world, you can run and jump and shout and go wherever you like. There were loud cheers. And just remember, Uncle Louis pleaded, what I said about the water. I don't want anyone to drown, so please don't go into the lake without me. We will be doing swimming lessons during school, and when you learn how to swim, then and only then will you be safe to go into the water by yourselves.